From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Bar.
It's been a long time since we've been at the Bard Brawl podcast with me, Daniel J. Rowan, my co-host, co-creator, and executive editor, copywriter,
guy,
Eric Jean. Eric Jean, it has been a long time. Do you want to tell everybody what was keeping us from the podcast waves?
The thesis. Yeah, a lot of things, a lot of different things and busyness, but mostly my big thesis project on King Lear and Kurosawa's Ren, which is now done.
And we're looking forward to seeing a bit of it. Are we going to get to see a bit of it on bardbrawl.com?
Once I've gotten over the trauma, I might go back and break it up into small sections, put it up on the site, and maybe like annotate it with ridiculous Bard Brawl type comments.
Alan will be excited.
Yeah, how bad my writing is and whatever.
Yeah, on that note, we are still planning the third installment of Zunes. We were planning on doing it late 2014, right at the end, but like Eric said, we got in a bunch of busyness and we've kind of settled on doing two a year for the time being. It's a little bit less stressful for all of us. We do have some submissions and we do have open spots for other submissions. If you want to submit for the next edition of Zounds themed The Mad King, go to barbell.com, click Zounds, and check out what the theme is. Maybe get some ideas. Buy a previous copy of Zounds. Mm-hmm. Notice I said it both ways.
That's always the advice they give, you know, aspiring writers. Buy and read the publication you're hoping to get published in.
Yes. We kind of actually do want you to, because we are a non-profit in the literal sense of the word and are just independent and doing it for the love of the bard and all things great.
We're currently in the market for a rich uncle.
Yes. If anyone has one.
And, you know, looking to help young creative types.
Put it in a will of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Have us stay in a mansion overnight and quote Shakespeare lines. You know, yeah, make it a game.
I'm there.
Televise it.
The play we decided to do, we're not doing a live recording like we usually do. We usually go pound for pound with Shakespeare, like Father Christmas and Saint Nicholas.
Or La Fille des Etoiles, as my dad used to say, the star fairy. Because it was, you didn't confuse, Christmas was for Jesus.
Yeah.
So you got presents on New Year's Eve, and that's when the fairy, kind of like the tooth fairy, but with presents.
Could she go pound to pound with Shakespeare? Probably.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, we usually do that, but we don't. We're not doing that this time because we're doing a revamp, because we are getting ready for Twelfth Night.
That's right.
Then we already recorded Twelfth Night, so we figured we'd give you a treat. First off, you get to revisit one of our favorite plays, which I thought was really funny.
Yes, and has some of our favorite, former, but perhaps one day again shall be Bard Brawlers,
Second J and Zoe. You know, they were close to us. They were in Quebec over the holidays. They were close. I felt their presence.
Mm.
And I saw a picture on Instagram. But they didn't come to Montreal, so don't feel bad that they didn't visit.
It's okay.
Yeah. They have Second J Ovenden, of course, is in Twelfth Night. He reads, so does Zoe Baldwin and
J. Reed.
The ultimate J. Reed. Andre Simoneau, Stephanie E.M. Coleman's also there. So we'll just leave it at that. We'll let you enjoy Act One of Twelfth Night, and we will come back with you shortly with Twelfth Night Act Two. And so on, and hopefully you will get it all spaced out nicely, so by January 5th, which is Twelfth Night, you will have heard the whole play.
Do we know what the next play we're doing is?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah.
And just to be sure, if people are listening, they should tell us what that play is, right?
I should tell them?
No, they should tell us what they think the next play should be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, otherwise, we're just going to do what we want.
Yeah, you know? I have an idea of what I want to do. what I'm probably going to do. But if a listener out there decides that they want to hear a certain play, send us an email or leave us a comment or send us a note on Twitter, and we will think about it.
But we'll thank you, but we'll think about it.
Definitely thank you. Maybe think about it. Enjoy Act 1 of Twelfth Night. We will talk to you shortly.
Just one. When's Belch coming?
That entirely depends on us.
He's going to go method. So we have, it's a shipwrecked island. Do we need to know anything else before we go in?
It's Illyria.
Illyria.
So it's like Greece-ish, but it really doesn't matter and doesn't feel at all like Greece.
Okay.
It's like a make-believe place where ships constantly get shipwrecked. I don't know.
We have a short first scene involving Viola. Who would like to be Viola? She our lead.
She is the lead.
Oops, sorry. Scene one, my bad.
Scene one.
Certain we're in a room in the Duke Orsino's house, so we need a Duke of Illyria.
I can be a whiny douchebag if you need me to be.
Is that what the Duke is?
Kind of.
That is what you are. Curio, Andre Simino, why don't you grab Curio, Valentine, Stephanie, if you want to be that, and then the three of us will jump on any lords or musicians that happen to come across. Illyria. Illyria, a room in Duke Orsino's palace. Enter Orsino, Duke of Illyria, Curio, and other lords, musicians attending. Are we playing?
If music be the food of love, play on. Give me excess of it, that surfeiting the appetite may sicken and so die. That strain again, it had a dying fall. Oh, it came over my ear like the sweet sound that breathes upon a bank of violets, stealing and giving odor. Enough, no more. 'Tis not so sweet now as it was before. O spirit of love, how quickly and fresh art thou, notwithstanding thy capacity, receiveth at the sea, not enters there, of what validity, and pitch soever, but falls into abatement, and low price even in a minute. So full of shapes is fancy, that it alone is high fantastical.
Will you go hunt, my lord?
What, Curio?
The heart.
Ah, why so I do, the noblest that I have. Oh, when mine eyes did see Olivia first, methought she purged the air of pestilence. That instant was I turned into a hart, and my desire, like fell and cruel hounds, ever since pursues me.
Enter Valentine.
How now, what news from her?
So please, my lord, oops, I might not be admitted, but from her handmaid do return this answer. The element itself till 7 years' heat shall not behold her face at ample view, but like a cloistress she will veiled walk and water once a day her chamber round with eye-offending brine, all this to season a brother's dead love, which she would keep fresh and lasting in her sad remembrance.
Oh, she had a heart of that fine frame to pay this debt of love but to a brother. How will she love when the rich golden shaft hath killed the flock of all affection else that live in her? When liver, brain, and heart, these sovereign thrones are all supplied and filled, her sweet perfections with one self-king. Away before me to sweet beds of flowers, love thoughts lie rich when canopied with bowers.
Exunt! So he's in love with who?
Olivia. She is a widower. Or
widow.
A widow, sorry. She's a widow, lost her husband, and he's stupidly in love with her, but she has no interest in any men.
She's melancholy.
She's a countess,
if I remember,
or something like that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
she's melancholy.
Your notes in here, Eric, say, what a wuss, LOL.
Thanks.
This was good.
All right, well, that helps.
Not Olivia.
All you students
Olivia,
out
the
there,
Duke.
Footnote, proper MLA citation, please.
What a wuss.
What a wuss. Laugh
out
loud.
What Eric John says.
Act 1, Scene 2, we're at the Seacoast. Viola! Miss Zoe, do you want to be Viola?
I would love to.
And would Mr. J2 want to be the captain?
Alright.
Okay. Enter Viola, a captain and sailors.
What country, friends, is this?
This is Illyria, lady.
And what should I do in Illyria? My brother, he is in Elysium. Perchance he is not drowned. What think you, sailors?
It is perchance that you yourself were saved.
Oh, my poor brother, and so perchance may he be.
True, madam, and to comfort you with chance, assure yourself, After our ship did split, when you and those poor number, saved with you, hung on our driving boat, I saw your brother, most provident, in peril, bind himself, courage and hope, both teaching him the practice, to a strong mast that lived upon the sea, where, like Arion on the dolphin's back, I saw him hold acquaintance with the waves so long as I could see.
For saying so, there's gold. Mine own escape unfoldeth to my hope, whereto thy speech serves for authority, the like of him. Knowest thou this country?
Aye, madam. Well, for I was bred and born, not 3 hours' travel from this very place.
Who governs here?
A noble duke, in nature as in name.
What is the name?
Orsino.
Orsino! I have heard my father name him. He was a bachelor then.
And so is now, or was so, very late. For but a month ago I went from hence, and then 'twas fresh in murmur, as you know, what great ones do, the less will prattle of, that he did seek the love of fair Olivia.
What's she?
A virtuous maid, the daughter of a count, that died some 12 months ago, then leaving her in the protection of his son, her brother, who shortly also died, for whose dear love, they say, she hath abjured the company and sight of men.
Oh, that I served that lady, and might not be delivered to the world till I had made mine own occasion mellow, what my estate is.
That were hard to compass, because she will admit no kind of suit, no, not the duke's.
There is a fair behavior in thee, captain, and though that nature with a beauteous wall doth oft close in pollution, yet of thee I will believe thou hast a mind that suits with this thy fair and outward character. I prithee, and I'll pay thee bounteously, conceal me what I am, and be my aid for such disguise as haply shall become the form of my intent. I'll serve this duke. Thou shalt present me as an eunuch to him. It may be worth thy pains, for I can sing and speak to him in many sorts of music that will allow me very worth his service. What else mayhap to time I will commit, only shape thou thy silence to my wit.
Be you his eunuch, and your mute I'll be. When my tongue blabs, then let mine eyes not see.
I thank thee. Lead me on.
Excellent. I guess if you read scene 2, it answers all the questions I asked after scene 1.
Exactly. Which... this tends to happen
to us, yes. Pretty
regularly. This is a bar brawl tradition. It's a bar brawl miracle, but the questions got answered in the text.
Oh, again.
Belch. Yay, Belch.
You ready? How many have you had? Okay.
I've had this much.
Okay. So you'll be very good. So we have Sir Toby Belch. Mm-hmm. We have Maria. Who's Maria?
She's the handmaid.
Handmaid. Yeah. And Sir Andrew Eigencheek. I guess I could read Maria. And Jay Reed, why don't you take Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew, who's most stuffily Sir Knightly? Andre, you can be Sir Andrew.
I was just waiting for it.
Sir Andrew's a goofball, too.
Oh, good. Yeah,
is like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, they're great.
Ooh, they're excited. Well, Eric, you want to take stage directions?
I will. A room in Olivia's house. Sir Toby Belch. Sir Toby Belch and Maria.
When a plague means my niece to take the death of her brother thus, I'm sure care's an enemy to life.
By my troth, Sir Toby, you must come in earlier's the night. Your cousin, my lady, takes great expectation to your ill hours.
Why, let her accept before accepted.
Aye, but you must confine yourself within the modest limits of order.
In fine... I'll confine myself no finer than I am. These clothes are good enough to drink in, and so be these boots too. And they be not, let them hang themselves in their own straps.
That quaffing and drinking will undo you. I heard my lady talk of it yesterday, and of a foolish knight that you brought in one night here to be her wooer.
Who, Sir Andrew Agacheek?
Aye, he.
He's as tall a man as any is in Illyria.
What's that to the purpose?
Why, he has 3,000 ducats a year.
Aye, but he'll have but a year in all these ducats. He's a very fool and a prodigal.
Fie, that you'll say so. He plays, the vile de gamboys, and speaks 3 or 4 languages word for word without book, and hath all the good gifts of nature.
He hath indeed, almost natural, for besides that he's a fool. He's a great quarreler, and but that he hath the gift of a coward to allay the gust he hath in quarrelling. 'Tis thought among the prudent he would quickly have the gift of a grave.
By this hand, they are scoundrels and substractors that say so to him. Who are they?
They that Admar are. He's drunk nightly in your company.
Oh, with drinking healths to my niece. I'll drink to her as long as there is passage in my throat, and drink at Illyria. He's a coward and a coistrel that will not drink to my niece till his brains turn o' the toe like a parish top. What, wench? Castigliano Volgo! For here comes Sir Andrew Agaface.
Enter Sir Andrew Agucheek.
Sir Toby Belch! Oh no, Sir Toby Belch!
Sweet Sir Andrew!
Bless you, fair shrew.
And you too, sir.
Accost! No.
Accost, Sir Andrew! Accost!
What's that?
My niece's chambermaid.
Good Mistress Accost, I desire better acquaintance.
My name is Mary, sir.
Good Mistress Mary Accost.
You mistake, knight. Accost is front her, board her, woo her a sailor.
By my troth, I would not undertake her in this company. Is that the meaning of accost?
Fare you well, gentlemen.
And thou let part so, Sir Andrew, with thou mightest never draw sword again.
And you part so, mistress? I would I might never draw sword again. Fair lady, do you think you have fools in hand?
Sir, I have not you by the hand.
Marry, but you shall have, and here's my hand.
Now, sir, thought is free. I pray you bring your hand to the buttery bar and let it drink.
Wherefore, sweetheart? What's your metaphor?
It's dry, sir.
Why, I think so. I'm not such an ass, but I can keep my hand dry. What's your jest?
A dry jest, sir.
Are you full of them?
Aye, sir. I have them at my fingers' ends. Marry now, I'll let you go your hand. I am barren.
Exit Maria.
Oh, knight, thou lackest a cup of canary. When did I see thee so put down?
Never in your life, I think. Unless you see canary put me down. Methinks sometimes I have no more wit than a Christian or an ordinary man has. But I'm a great eater of beef, and I believe that does harm to my wit.
No question.
Sound medical advice.
And I thought that I'd forswear it. I'll ride home tomorrow, Sir Toby.
Pourquoi, my dear knight?
What is pourquoi? Do or not do? How would I had bestowed that time in tongues that I have in fencing, dancing, and bear baiting? Oh, had I but followed the arts.
Then hast thou had an excellent head of hair.
Why, would that have mended my hair?
Past question, for thou seest it will not curl by nature.
But it becomes me well enough, does not?
Excellent. It hangs like flax on a distaff, and I hope to see a huswife take thee in between her legs and spin it off.
Wow. Faith, I'll home tomorrow, Sir Toby. Your niece will not be seen. Or if she be, it's 4-1, she'll none of me. The Count himself here hard by woos her.
She'll none of the Count. She'll not match above her degree, neither in estate, years, nor wit. I've heard her swear't. Tut! There's life in it, man.
I'll stay a month longer. I'm a fellow of the strangest mind in the world. I delight in masks and revels sometimes altogether.
Art thou good at these kickshaws, knight?
As any man in Illyria, whatsoever he be, under the degree of my betters, and yet I will not compare with an old man.
What is thy excellence in a gallard, knight?
Faith, I can cut a caper.
And I can cut the mutton to it.
And I think I have the back trick simply as strong as any man in Illyria.
Wherefore are these things hid? Wherefore have these gifts a curtain before them? Are they like to take dust, like Mistress Miles' picture? Why dost thou not go to church in a galliard, and come home in a coranto? My very walk should be a jig. I would not so much as make water, but sink in it, but in a syncopace. What dost thou mean? Is it a world to hide virtues in? I didst think, by the excellent constitution of thy leg, it was formed under the star of a galliard.
It is strong, and it does indifferent well in a flame-colored stock. Shall we set about some revels?
What else shall we do? Were we not born under Taurus?
Taurus? That's sides and heart.
No, sir, it is legs and thighs. Let me see thee caper. Ah, ire. Ah, ah, excellent.
Excellent.
Love that.
Very, very nice.
Oh, I am
haven't had a funny scene like that in a long time.
Yeah, there wasn't many scenes like that in... All right, we're in Act 1, Scene 4. We're back a room in Duke Orsino's palace. Valentine, Viola, Duke, Curio, attendants. Everybody good on that? We've got everybody, right?
Do we have a Valentine cat? Oh, you're Valentine.
Valentine's Stephanie.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Viola's... You're Viola.
Yes.
Hey, Daniel, what role are you playing?
I was
Maria.
Just Maria.
Maria.
Oh, that's right.
I was King Lear in the
Maria's
last play.
Awesome.
I'm being
you're
very
like,
conscious of taking what is not due me. A room in Duke Orsino's palace. Enter Valentine and Viola in man's attire.
If the Duke continue these favors towards you, Cesario, you are like to be much advanced. He hath known you but 3 days, and already you are no stranger.
You either fear his humor or my negligence, that you call in question the continuance of his love. Is he inconstant, sir, in his favors?
No, believe me.
Enter Duke, Curio, and attendants.
Thank you. Here comes the Count.
Who saw Cesario, ho?
On your attendance, my lord, here.
Stand you a while aloof. Thou knowest no less but all. I have unclasped to thee the book even of my secret soul. Therefore, good youth, address thy gate unto her. Be not denied access. Stand at her door and tell them there thy fixed foot shall grow till thou have audience.
Sure, my noble lord, if she be so abandoned to her sorrow as it is spoke, she will never admit me.
Be clamorous and leap all civil bounds rather than make unprofited returns.
Say I do speak with her, my lord, what then?
Oh, then unfold the passion of my love, surprise her with discourse of my dear faith. It shall become thee well to act my woes. She will attend it better in thy youth than in a nuncio's of more grave aspect.
I think not so, my lord.
Dear lad, believe it, for they shall yet belie thy happy years that sayest thou art a man. Diana's lip is not more smooth and rubious. Thy small pipe is as the maiden's organ, shrill and sound, and all is semblative a woman's part. I know thy constellation is right aft for this affair. Some 4 or 5 attend him. All, if you will, for I myself am best when least in company. Prosper well in this, and thou shalt live as free as thy lord to call his fortune thine.
I'll do my best to woo your lady.
Aside.
Yet a barful strife. Whoe'er I woo, myself would be his wife.
Exeunt.
Oh, she loves
that. She loves his creepiness.
Because there's like, there's no scene of Viola as Cesario first encountering the Duke.
That's true.
No.
And they don't even describe it. They're just like, okay, we're skipping. We're moving right ahead. We're moving along. There's lots to happen here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Oh. Clown.
Festy. His
name
is
Clown
Festy.
Lady Olivia, do we have?
I don't think we have that.
No.
Maria. I have it.
Here. Maria's me.
Yeah.
Clown Festy will be J2.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Olivia will be J1. Malvolio. Oh, no, you can't because
Sir
Toby's
wanted,
in here.
Did you want to be Malvolio?
Yes.
Okay. So Zoe shotgun Malvolio. So she's Malvolio.
So she's Malvolio. We need Lady Olivia. Which...
I can do it.
Okay,
whatever
yeah.
You want to do.
Because you're not in this...
I think that might be a problem, because Lady... Actually, Lady Olivia... Yeah, she eventually speaks to the Duke.
To the Duke? All right, I'll be Olivia.
He's trying to pick her up. I can just be attendants.
Or Viola? Who's Viola?
That's me.
Oh, you. There's a lot of people here.
We'll
go ahead, Eric. You want to do stage directions?
Sure. A room in Olivia's house sent to Maria and the Clown Feste.
Nay, either tell me where thou hast been, or I will not open my lips so wide as a bristle may enter in way of thy excuse. My lady will hang thee for thy absence.
Let her hang me. He that is well hanged in this world needs to fear no colors.
Make that good.
He shall see none to fear.
A good Lenten answer. I can tell thee where that saying was born of, I fear no colors.
Where, good Mistress Mary?
In the wars, and that may you be bold to say in your foolery.
Well, God give them wisdom that have it, and those that are fools, let them use their talents.
Yet, you will be hanged for being so long absent, and to be turned away is not that as good as a hanging to you.
Many a good hanging prevents a bad marriage, and for turning away, let summer bear it out.
This is really screwing with my... I keep thinking of that clown being hung in King Lear. Making this more dark.
This clown is just hung.
That's good. You are resolute, then?
Not so, neither. But I am resolved on 2 points.
That if one break, the other will hold, or if both break, your gaskins fall?
Apt in good faith, very apt. Well, go that way. If Sir Toby would leave drinking... Thou wert as witty a piece of Eve's flesh as any in Illyria.
Jay just glared at other Jay. Peace, you rogue. No more of that. Here comes my lady. Make your excuse wisely. You were best.
Exit. Enter Lady Olivia with Malvolio and attendants.
Wit, an't be thy will, put me into good fooling. Those wits that think they have thee do very oft prove fools. And I, that am sure I lack thee, may pass for a wise man. For what says Kinapalus? Better a witty fool than a foolish wit. God bless thee, lady.
Take the fool away.
Do you not hear, fellows? Take away the lady.
Go to, you're a dry fool. I'll know more of you. Besides, you grow dishonest.
Two faults, Madonna, that drink and good counsel will amend. Forgive the dry fool drink. Then is the fool not dry? Bid the dishonest man mend himself. If he mend, he is no longer dishonest. If he cannot, let the butcher mend him. Anything that's mended is but patched. Virtue that transgresses is but patched with sin, and sin that amends is but patched with virtue. If that this simple syllogism will serve, so. If it will not, what remedy? As there is no true cuckold, but calamity, no beauty's a flower. The lady bade take away the fool. Therefore, I say again, take her away.
Sir, I bade them take away you.
This prison is in the highest degree. Lady, caculus non facit monachum. That's as much as to say as I wear not motley in my brain. Good Madonna, give me leave to prove you a fool.
Can you do it?
Dexterously, good Madonna.
Make your proof.
I must catechize you for it, Madonna. Good my mouse of virtue, answer me.
Well, sir, for want of other idleness, I'll bide your proof.
Good Madonna, why mournest thou?
Good fool for my brother's death.
I think his soul is in hell, Madonna.
I know his soul is in heaven, fool.
The more fool, Madonna, to mourn for your brother's soul being in heaven. Take away the fool, gentlemen.
Think of you, this fool, Malvolio. Doth he not mend?
Yes, and shall do till the pangs of death shake him. Infirmity that decays the wise doth ever make the better fool.
God send you, sir, a speedy infirmity, for the better increasing your folly. Sir Toby will be sworn that I am no fox, but he will not pass his word for 2 pence that you are no fool.
How say you to that, Malvolio?
I marvel your ladyship takes delight in such a barren rascal. I saw him put down the other day with an ordinary fool that has no more brain than a stone. Look you now, he's out of his guard already. Unless you laugh and minister occasion to him, he is gagged. I protest. I take these wise men that crow so at kind of fools, no better than the fool's zanies.
Oh, you are sick of self-love, Malvolio, and taste with a distempered appetite. To be generous, guiltless, and free, and of free disposition, is to take those things for bird bolts that you deem cannon bullets. There is no slander in an allowed fool, though he do nothing but rail, nor no railing in a known discreet man, though he do nothing but reprove.
Now Mercury endue thee with leasing. For thou speakest well of fools.
Enter Maria.
Madam, there is at the gate a young gentleman much desires to speak with you.
From the Count Orsino, is it?
I know not, madam. 'Tis a fair young man and well attended.
Who of my people hold him in delay?
Sir Toby, madam, your kinsman.
Fetch him off, I pray you. He speaks nothing but madman. Fie on him!
Exit Maria.
Go you, Malvolio. If it be a suit from the Count, I am sick, or not at home, what you will, to dismiss it.
Exit Malvolio.
Now you see, sir, how your fooling grows old and people dislike it.
Thou hast spoke for us, Madonna, as if thy eldest son should be a fool, whose skull Jove cram with brains. For here he comes.
Enter Sir Toby.
One of thy kin has a most weak pia mater.
By mine honor, half drunk. What is he at the gate, cousin?
A gentleman.
A gentleman? What gentleman?
There's a gentleman here. A plague on these pickle herring. How now, sot?
Good Sir Toby!
Cousin, cousin, how have you come so early by this lethargy?
Lechery! I defy lechery! There's one at the gates!
Aye, Mary, what is he?
Let him be the devil and he will. I care not. Give me faith, say I. Well, it's all one.
Exit.
What a drunken man like, fool!
Like a drowned man, a fool and a madman. One draught above heat makes him a fool. The second mads him, and a third drowns him.
Go thou and seek the crowner, and let him sit a my cause. For he's in the third degree of drink. He's drowned. Go, look after him.
He is but mad yet, Madonna, and the fool shall look to the madman.
Exit. Enter Malvolio.
Madam, yonder young fellow swears he will speak with you. I told him you were sick. He takes on him to understand so much, and therefore comes to speak with you. I told him you were asleep. He seems to have a foreknowledge of that, too, and therefore comes to speak with you. What is it to be said to him, lady? He's fortified against any denial.
Tell him he shall not speak with me.
Has been told so, and he says he'll stand at your door like a sheriff's post and be the supporter to a bench, but he'll speak with you.
What kind of man is he?
Why, of mankind.
What manner of man?
A very ill manner. He'll speak with you, will you or no.
Of what personage and years is he?
Not yet old enough for a man, nor young enough for a boy. As a squash is before 'tis a peas cod, or a cooling when 'tis almost an apple, 'tis with him in standing water, between boy and man. He is very well favored, and he speaks very shrewishly. One would think his mother's milk were scarce out of him.
Let him approach. Call in my gentlewoman.
Gentlewoman, my lady calls.
Exit. Enter Maria.
Give me my veil. Come, throw it o'er my face. We'll once more hear Orsino's embassy.
Enter Viola.
The honorable lady of the house, which is she?
Speak to me, I shall answer for her. Your will?
Most radiant, exquisite, and unmatchable beauty, I pray you, tell me if this be the lady of the house, for I never saw her. I would be loath to cast away my speech, for besides that it is excellently well penned, I have taken great pains to con it. Good beauties, let me sustain no scorn, I am very comfortable, even to the least sinister usage.
Whence came you, sir?
I can say little more than I have studied, and that question's out of my part. Good gentlewoman, give me modest assurance, if you be the lady of the house, that I may proceed in my speech.
Are you a comedian?
No, my profound heart, and yet, by the very fangs of malice, I swear, I am not that I play. Are you the lady of the house?
If I do not desert myself, I am.
Most certain. If you are she, you do usurp yourself, for what is yours to bestow is not yours to reserve. But this is from my commission. I will on with my speech in your praise, and then show you the heart of my message.
Come to what is important in it. I forgive you the praise.
Alas, I took great pains to study it, and 'tis poetical.
It is the more like to be feigned. I pray you, keep it in. I heard you were saucy at my gates, and allowed your approach rather to wonder at you than to hear you. If you be not mad, be gone. If you have reason, be brief. 'Tis not the time of a moon with me to make one in so skipping a dialogue.
Will you hoist sail, sir? Here lies your way.
No good swabber, I am to hull here a little longer. Some mollification for your giant, sweet lady. Tell me your mind. I am a messenger.
Sure, you have some hideous matter to deliver, when the courtesy of it is so fearful. Speak your office.
It alone concerns your ear. I bring no overture of war, no taxation of homage. I never know what to say, homage. I hold the olive in my hand. My words are as fun of peace as matter.
Yet you begin rudely. What are you? What would you?
The rudeness that hath appeared in me have I learned from my entertainment. What I am and what I would are as secret as maidenhead. To your ears, divinity. To any others, profanation.
Give us the place alone. We will hear this divinity.
Exit Maria and the attendants.
Now, sir, what is your text?
Most sweet lady.
A comfortable doctrine, and much may be said of it. Where lies your text?
In Orsino's bosom.
In his bosom? In what chapter of his bosom?
To answer by the method, in the first of his heart.
Oh, I have read it. It is heresy. Have you no more to say?
Good madam, let me see your face.
Have you any commission from your lord to negotiate with my face? You are now out of your text, but we will draw the curtain and show you the picture. Look you, sir, such a one I was this present. It's not well done.
Excellently done, if God did all.
Tis in grain, sir, 'twill endure wind and weather.
It's real.
This shit's waterproof.
Tis beauty truly blent, whose red and white nature's own sweet and cunning hand laid on. Lady, you are the cruelest she alive. If you will lead these graces to the grave and leave the world no copy.
Oh, sir, I will not be so hard-hearted. I will give out divers schedules of my beauty. It shall be inventoried, and every particle and utensil labeled to my will, as item two lips in different red, item two gray eyes with lids to them, item one neck, one chin, and so forth. Were you sent hither to praise me?
I see what you are too proud. But if you were the devil, you are fair. My lord and master loves you. Oh, such love could not be recompensed, though you were crowned the nonpareil of beauty.
How does he love me?
With adorations, fertile tears, with groans that thunder love, with sighs of fire.
Your lord does know my mind. I cannot love him. Yet I suppose him virtuous, know him noble, of great estate, of fresh and stainless youth, in voices well divulged, free, learned, and valiant. And in dimension and the shape of nature, a gracious person. But yet I cannot love him. He might have took his answer long ago.
Sorry.
If I did love you in my master's flame, with such a suffering, such a deadly life, in your denial I would find no sense. I would not understand it.
Why? What would you?
Make me a willow cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within the house. Write loyal cantons of contented love, and sing them loud even in the dead of night. Halloo your name to the reverberate hills, and make the babbling gossip of the air cry out, Olivia, oh, you should not rest between the elements of air and earth, but you should pity me.
You might do much. What is your parentage?
Above my fortunes, yet my state is well. I am a gentleman.
Get you to your lord. I cannot love him. Let him send no more, unless perchance you come to me again, to tell me how he takes it. Fare you well. I thank you for your pains. Spend this for me.
I am no feed post, lady. Keep your purse. My master, not myself, lacks recompense. Love make his heart a flint that you shall love, and let your fervor, like my master's, be placed in contempt. Farewell, fair cruelty.
What is your parentage? Above my fortunes, yet my state is well. I am a gentleman. I'll be sworn thou art. Thy tongue, thy face, thy limbs, actions, and spirit do give thee fivefold blazon. Not too fast, soft, soft. Unless the master were the man, how now? Even so quickly may one catch the plague. Methinks I feel this youth's perfections with an invisible and subtle stealth to creep in at mine's eyes. Well, let it be. What ho, Malvolio?
Enter Malvolio.
Here, madam, at your service.
Why not run after that same peevish messenger, the country's man? He left this ring behind him.
Ah, classic.
Yes, good bullshit. Good would I or not, tell him I'll none of it. Desire him not to flatter with his lord, nor hold him up with hopes. I am not for him. If that the youth will come this way tomorrow, I'll give him reasons for it. Hie thee, Malvolio.
Madam, I will.
He exits.
I know not what, and fear to find mine eye too great a flatterer for my mind. Fate, show thy force. Ourselves we do not owe. What is decreed must be, and be this so.
Exit.
Olivia. Oh.
Malvolio is such a bootlegger. Dong,
dong, dong, dong. That's a polite way of saying it.
Right off the bat.
Super fun. Yes, listeners, if you have any questions about this act, please leave them in the comment section.
Does this tie in nicely to our sonnets?
Yes.
The passages about go forth and don't deny the world your beauty.
It does tie in nicely to the sonnets. And thank you to our... Now, I was going to say bisexual sonneteers, but that meaning we have
transgender
boys and girls as sonneteers.
Plurigender? No.
No, it doesn't work.
Unisex.
Anyway.
Middlesex.
Well, that was a little lighter.
Yeah.
Brightened my day
Such
up.
Fun.
No Man. Eyes were taken out in this.
No true. Eyes yet. Well, yet.
Yeah.
By the way, you listeners at home didn't get to see Mr. J. Reed getting into his method actor as he saw his lines approaching. He grabbed his glass and started sort of swaying.
Well, the thing is, I was starting to play more of a drunk Falstaff, like a fatter guy, but turns out he's more good-looking, so he's more of a Roger Sterling, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Toby Belch isn't... Toby Belch equals Falstaff.
Yeah. Next week, we'll come back, and Jerry will have gained 20 pounds.
Except Falstaff fucks things up to, like, tragic consequences.
Yeah, and he's,
Toby Belch,
he also gets
that.
Screwed, but
yeah.
Tony Belch doesn't get screwed. He actually ends up in a pretty okay position at the end.
Well, stay tuned for that, listener. We'll be with you shortly.
See you next time. Sorry, I had to do it.
And now the Bard Brawl presents me, Eric, reading Sonnet 48 by William P. Shakespeare. How careful was I when I took my way, each trifle under truest bars to thrust, that to my use it might unused stay, from hands of falsehood and sure wards of trust. But thou, to whom my jewels trifles are, most worthy comfort, now my greatest grief. Thou best of dearest and mine only care art left the prey of every vulgar thief. Thee have I not locked up in any chest, save where thou art not, though I feel thou art, within the gentle closure of my breast, from whence at pleasure thou mayest come and part. And even thence thou will be stolen, I fear, for truth proves thievish for a prize so dear.